Well, welcome once again. Thomas L. Bondi here with another word from the holy works of Jesus Christ. The King James Authorized 1611 Bible. There's nothing that can touch it. It's already been fulfilled. So I leave that with you. In the meantime, we'll get on with today's message. I call it the real deal word. The real deal word of God, of course. You can be sure. You know, I've heard it so many times. I even heard it from my own lips. How do you know for sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? How? Well, we'll deal with that question after this short prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to partake in thy ministry. I thank you, Lord, for laying on my heart the things that you would have me say. I pray, Lord, that those who hear this word today, that they'll be encouraged by it, Lord, and they'll want to seek thee out. If they're not saved, they'll come for salvation, and if they are, they'll come for comfort in your words, in your promise. I thank you, Lord, for saving me, and I ask now, Father, that you'd encourage me, Lord, through your word. And when all is said and done, may Jesus Christ be lifted up. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, like I said, I've heard it many times. How do you know for sure you're saved? Well, how do you know for sure you're saved? Well, I'd say, well, one way to know is to examine yourself to see if you really are in the faith. That's what the King James Bible tells us to do. We know by the blessed word of our holy and righteous God, as clearly defined in the 1611 authorized King James Bible. That's how we know. Don't wait for a voice to call you in the middle of the night. Don't wait for a letter in the mail. And don't wait for the verbal guarantee from your mom, your dad, your teacher, or even your pastor. He doesn't know your heart. Salvation, well, salvation is a personal thing between you and God. Very personal indeed. Yes. Salvation is between you and God, and not the Vatican, or sister who, or uncle whom, or brother what. What's his face? No. And certainly, salvation is not between you and a prayer from Benny Hinn Hinn. No, sir. No, madam. I cannot begin to count those whom I've witnessed to over the years who had me convinced they were truly converted and on their way to glory. Convinced. And you'd think they were the way they talk. They talk so holy, so righteous. They seem to know everything about the scriptures. It's encouraging to hear them talk, but to see them act, to know them in the shadows, well, that's a whole different story. Because within a week, when a week had crossed to the opposite side of the street, they saw me coming. From the opposite side of the street, they saw me coming. Because, you know why? They were afraid I might ask, and I do this all the time, "Are you praising the Lord today?" excuse me, I got a meeting today. And these, for the most part, they were close, trustworthy friends of mine. And yet they don't. When they see me coming, they'll cross over, or else they'll go in a crowd somewhere. They'll just vanish. Because they don't want to hear me talking about the Lord Jesus. You know why? Because they're not saved. They may at one time thought they were, but oh, they don't want me checking them out. When I'm alone on my night shift at work, I often think, and I wonder, if it's my fault, if it's my fault that I did something wrong, I was too uppity, I was too, I put them down perhaps, and I didn't mean to. You got to be careful. You know, you give them the word of God, but you don't belittle them while you're doing it. Just give them the word of God. It's up to them to believe or not. Maybe I wasn't earnest enough. I don't know. Maybe even I'm not sure about my own salvation. No, don't run with that, because I am. I checked it out. I examined myself. Yes, I am. You know, sometimes, though, in the past, they used to say, well, I think I am. I think I am. You know, in John, the good book of John, John 5, verse 39, the Bible says to search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And in verse 40 says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And you will not come to me. There you go. You can say you believe. You can convince the whole world that you believe. You're believing in what Jesus did. But you're not walking the walk. Talking the talk. Anybody can talk the talk. You see them on TV all the time, but you don't see them walking the walk. Ah, I mean, let's face it, come on. Maybe salvation is a feeling. I know it's a feeling for me, in certain respects. A feeling that comes, and you have your off days perhaps for a little while, because you haven't been attentive to God's Word, or you haven't prayed enough. But these days come and they go like a harsh wind or a soft rain even. Are we supposed to still have our ups and downs even though we're children of the King? Well, of course, as long as we're in this old flesh, we'll be tempted day and night, in and out, up and down. We'll be tempted. And what about doubts? Like, would a loving God allow me to feel lost if I'm truly saved? Would he? Would he? He did say that those who love him, they'll suffer, what? Persecution, right? And I can tell you I've had my share of persecution, and I don't expect it to lessen any time soon. Because as long as you're preaching the Word of God, you know, I preach in the old folks home, the seniors, I preach in the church, I preach most everywhere I go. Anybody listen to me, I'll talk and preach about the Word of God. Oh, yes. What about our doubts? Well, they're going to be there, saved or not. Now, would a loving God allow me to feel lost if I'm truly saved? He did say, well, we will have persecution, and even more so, the more you care about him, the more you talk about him, the more you share who he is, you're going to have more persecution. But one thing you can be sure of, if you are steadfast. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you the boastful kind? Do you like to boast when you catch that big fish? Do you like to boast when you've lost all that extra weight? Do you like to boast when you can just stand up there in front of an audience and just let it out and everything just falls into place? Do you like to boast? Are you that kind of person? Well, I think we all go through that sometime or other in our lives. That's not such a bad thing. But I like to boast now on the Lord. I like to boast about what Jesus did, how great He is. Oh, and how He is my Savior, and how I know for sure that one day I'll be with Him in glory. That's something I like to boast about. And we are told that the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, is our assurance of salvation if, I underline the word if, we what? Believe, right? Believe. Have you got that? Have you got that? If we believe, not just for a minute or an hour or a day, but if we believe, period. Period. First John tells us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Wow. Oh, I just put a big exclamation mark right there at the back of it. Wow. Now here's the dilemma. And I don't like to use the word. However, the truth of the matter is, there are so many who are not absolutely sure of their salvation. You'd be surprised. Most of them will say, yeah, I'm saved. But when their chips are down, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. It's not like for certain anymore. I feel so sorry for those. You know, sometimes they'll come to church on a special occasion. But you don't see them there like on just a regular Sunday service. But when something special, like somebody's going to do a song that they like, or the kids are going to be involved in certain aspects of it, they'll come along. They'll come out in great numbers. But then the following Sunday, hardly anybody shows up. Why? Is there something lacking in their lives? Is there? Oh, there are a lot, you know, that are not absolutely sure. But they'll go through the routine. They look at being born again like some sort of a vaccination where no scab is formed. An invisible one, right? In a way, well, they're kind of right in a way. A bit crude, but maybe right. Salvation is. It is a type of vaccination, I suppose. A vaccination of the heart. Not a needle in the arm. But believing in your heart. Oh, yes. Repent and believe, and you shall be saved. And we only require one shot that lasts us for all eternity, all eternity. Now, don't look for a scar or a scab or any kind of physical sign now. Spiritual vaccination leaves no markings. What I always say to people who are not sure is exactly what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Here it comes. I mentioned it earlier. If you're not sure, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you? except ye be reprobates. And let's read verse 6 as well. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. No, sir. We're not. But you say, and how do I examine myself spiritually? How do you do that? God's word says, know ye not your own selves? You know yourself. You know how you feel. You know what's in your heart. You know what's in your mind. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you? And here's the killer. Except ye be reprobates. You're no reprobate, are you? No. And don't let anybody tell you you are. No, you're not. Tell me, did you receive him? Did you receive Christ? And don't say, I've heard this so many times. Don't say, well, I think so. You think so. If you're not sure, get it settled. And you don't have to take a header and roll around the floor, foaming between the ears. Just be truthful. It's between you and God. God knows your heart. He looks upon your heart. Don't worry if you don't start producing fruit right away to show you're a child of the King. Simply repent and believe. That's what the Word of God says. Repent and believe. The fruit will be still under the blossom, maybe. Okay? Maybe the blossom is going to fall off first before the fruit is revealed. Whatever you do, here's a not to do. Whatever you do, here's a not to do. Do not try to be a secret Christian. Do you ever see secret Christians? They're all around you. You see them in church, you see them on the street, you see them in a lot of public places, and even around your own breakfast table, maybe. They say, yes, I'm a Christian. Are they really? Well, you're certainly keeping it a secret because you don't talk about the Lord Jesus very much, if at all. And I heard some pretty fancy-antsy words coming out of your mouth one day. Don't be a secret Christian. Let the world know. Don't try to keep it to yourself. You can't anyway. If you won't profess Christ as your Savior to the people on earth, then He will not profess you to His Father in heaven. And that's that. That's settled. So let it out. Let the people know you are a child of the King. Shout hallelujah once in a while. Let your light shine brightly. What about Sunday morning Christians? For the main 11 o'clock service, many so-called Christians will arrive wearing their finest attire, talking their favorite talk, and hopefully getting their weekly blessing, along with a cup of coffee and a free donut. Did you know that God attends church whenever the church doors are open? Yes, He does. Why is that, do you suppose? I like to believe that when two or three are gathered in His name, the Bible says, then there He is in their midst. Do you ever see two or three show up for a hockey game? Do you ever see two or three show up for a ball game? Or any kind of worldly event? Do you ever see two or three show up only? Isn't it something when your favorite sports figure scores a goal or gets a home run? I mean, they almost bring the house down. Two or three can't do that. Ever hear the crowd yell, "Praise the Lord!" or "He's alive!" Oh no. They probably throw you out of the arena. And tell me, why is it when you have a special event at your church, you can't find a parking spot? Yet, when your pastor spends all week preparing a Sunday sermon, there's not enough room. there's enough room, rather, to have a cattle drive in the parking lot. And why is it when your cup runneth over, somebody else's cup has to be empty? Why? And why are there so many fat preachers? God forgive me, I said that. Not to be critical, just throwing it in, I guess. Why is it that Joel Osteen averages over 100,000 every week for his services, while Cornerstone Bible Baptist Church struggles to pull in 30 on a good day? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's because our building is so small. Oh, no. Not because our building is too small, no. And not because of what Osteen preaches, no. It's because of what Osteen doesn't preach. What he doesn't preach. And it's called the truth. The truth that will make you free. The fact of the matter concerning salvation is clearly defined in the Scriptures. For example, in Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, this simply means your lifestyle, right? What you bear in your daily walk and talk, how you behave in front of others. You know, I spent over 14 years in the military before I became a Christian. I mean a true Christian, not a Catholic Christian, which is no Christian at all. You see, I was still in the Catholic Church when Jesus was knocking on my heart's door. And I began reading an old King James Bible my mother gave me. My mother was a Protestant, but she always made us kids attend a Catholic church. I don't know why. Later on, after much ado about what Christianity was all about, she seemed to come more around and change her mind. I'd like to think that Catherine and I, that's my wife, had something to do about it. In other visits, we would read and talk about the King James Bible and pray a little. Finally, she professed to be one of us, a Baptist born-again Christian. Oh, but sadly, alas, a short time before she died, my aunt, who was a chronic Mick Catholic, somehow managed to convert her to Catholicism, or so I've been told. It just broke my heart. It just broke my heart so much. I had two older brothers, who claimed to be Catholics. But when I tried to tell them about my Jesus, that we had to be born again, they just scoffed and even threatened me with physical harm. They did. As far as I know, they both died in their sins. Oh, I'm going to miss them in glory. Oh, Lord, wipe away the tears. Some folks say that being a born-again Christian is just another religion. Just do the best you can and God will bless you. And one day He'll take you to heaven. Well, I'm here to tell you, Mr. or Mrs. or kid or whoever you are, our best won't even get you past the turnstiles at heaven's gate. You see, when Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, and I say went because all the armies in the world couldn't make Him go. Oh no. When He allowed Himself to be nailed to that cruel cross, it wasn't for something He had or hadn't done. Oh no. It was because of us, you, me. Us sinners, and every sinner before us and after us. And all we have to do is lay it out plain and simple in the Scriptures that we can get just about anywhere we want. A simple King James authorized 1611 Bible. my friends. Repent. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Thy house. Tell me, do you have the real deal? Or do you just think you have it? I pray that you realize where you stand in the eyes of God, and you'll do so quickly. Don't take chances with your salvation. Be sure it's real. I implore you. Jesus loves you, and he's not willing that any should perish. Oh, I pray you will make that decision today if you're not sure. Talk to somebody. Talk to a pastor. Talk to somebody who is a real Christian. Good Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity. Lord, I pray that the people who hear this message today, that they will examine themselves, if they have any doubts whatsoever about their salvation. They'll make sure, Lord, for you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you, Lord, for giving this to me. I love you, Lord, and I know they love you too. I pray, Lord, that you will help them to understand. For I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name and for his sake. Amen.